Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's causing inflation? Let's go in depth with Brian Peterson, professor of economics at Central College.
Professor Peterson, what's inflation?
Well, inflation is a sustained increase in prices of a given set of goods that you purchase on a regular basis. You can capture it in a number of different ways quantitatively. The one that we're most used to hearing about is what's called the Consumer Price Index. The Consumer Price Index measures the change in price of a fixed basket of goods that the Bureau of Labor Statistics determines is what a typical family of four would consume over the course of a period of time. And then they simply track the change in prices of those goods.
And so what we're seeing now is inflation, the worst in, what, 40 years?
Inflation for January, from January of 21, is about 7.5%, which doesn't necessarily change the second half of your statement, that this is inflation that we're not used to seeing.
Since Jimmy Carter was president.
Right. Yeah, and it's happening for a whole host of different reasons, and in some ways it's kind of a perfect economic storm of the sorts of things that actually would, in and of themselves, would create inflation.
And what are those?
So, a couple of different things. One, there's been a lot of conversation about the disruptions to the supply chain, right? So if there are fewer goods that you're able to purchase, people will start to bid up the prices on those particular goods. You're seeing that in a number of different ways, that if you look at some new car dealerships, you won't see very many new cars, right? Because they're having difficulty bringing them in. But what you also see if you go to used car lots is they can't keep them on the lot fast enough. And so that's causing an increase in the price of those vehicles. Because they can't buy new, we'll have to buy used, right? New to us. One other issue that we're having is kind of a lagged impact of government spending. Government spending always creates an increase in growth, which can potentially be inflationary, right? So all of the economic income payments that we had received over the last year, year and a half, if there weren't an opportunity for people to utilize those funds and purchase then, now that more and more and more people are kind of coming out of hiding, now that the pandemic seems to be receding just a little bit, that's going to increase pressure because now they're spending. The other piece that I find interesting is that you're getting price inflation based on growth in wages. And so you think of it in this way. People talk about what they refer to as the Great Resignation, right? That people over the last year or two have been resigning from their positions either to look for another one or because they already have another one, right? So I think the pandemic did a couple of things to people who were already gainfully employed. One, it gave them an understanding of what else might be out there, right? Some of them were able to work remotely. And when the pandemic starts to recede, if their company says, okay, now everybody's back to work, but you were able to be more productive, for example, by working at home, you might start looking around for companies that have a little bit more flexibility in their telecommuting policies. We have evidence that people were back at work, but also looking around for other positions, right? And you think one of the big reasons that you can do that is because it makes you have just a little bit more bargaining power, right? So, Bob, you start looking around for another position, There's another radio station in Des Moines that really, really wants to hire you, and they're going to pay you 20% more than you're making now. And so then you might go back to your current employer and say, you know, I've been offered this opportunity. They're paying me 20% more. And that company has, where you currently work, has to do one of two things. They have to say, I'm really sorry, I can't match that, good luck. Or they'll say, I can match that, or I can match that and give you a little bit more than that, because they want to keep you. But now what you're starting to see then is a wage increase, right? Which is, one, for you, that means more income in your pocket, so you're going to start spending more. The other thing that it's going to do is the company has to figure out a way to recoup that additional raise they gave you, which means they're going to start to raise the prices on what they sell. So you're seeing a number of different things kind of all leading to the same thing, which is an increase in price. Now, wages have been rising, right? After adjusting for inflation, wages are still rising, which is a good thing for everybody. There was more growth for people who lived in urban areas than for those who live in rural areas. But I think a lot of that is simply a function of the number of opportunities that might have been available to them.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about inflation with Brian Peterson, professor of economics at Central College.
Well, there's lots of opportunities. Virtually every manufacturing company that I know is looking for workers, restaurants. I mean, there's still, I guess you can explain that this to me, and I need to make sure that we stay on inflation, but we still have unemployment rates about the same as pre-pandemic.
Unemployment in for January nationwide was 4%, which is where it was in January of 19. So a little bit even before pre-pandemic. In Iowa, which the state data tends to lag a little bit further, December unemployment rate in Iowa was 3.5%, which, again, isn't unusual. We tend to be below the national average. But prior to the pandemic, we were at about 2.9%. So we're not quite there, but it's all still coming down. So the answer to your question is, yeah, people are still looking for jobs. It's that where the jobs are open is not necessarily the same as the people who had the jobs before, right? So what you're getting is kind of a redistribution. So there are lots of people who are restaurants are looking for wait staff and for cooks and other workers, because those who worked there pre-pandemic couldn't work there during the pandemic may have found additional work elsewhere, and if that gives you more than, you know, the $2.13 an hour plus tips that you would be getting as a restaurant, there's no reason for you to go back.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about inflation with Brian Peterson, professor of economics at Central College.
Now, explain to me, people say there's too much money, some people are saying. We gave too much money to the American people, the average Joe and Jane, you know, with respect to pandemic relief. There are people that say that, and that's one of the reasons for inflation. We're clogging the system with money. Why is it okay then, these people criticizing this for giving taxpayer dollars back to middle class and poor people, when at the same time they'll say, oh, cut taxes on the wealthy. And so give them more of their money back. What's the difference? You're giving money back and it's supposed to be, but it isn't supposed to cause inflation when you give money back to the rich.
We don't talk about it causing inflation when you hand it back to the rich, right? A couple of things in the way that you phrased that, one, the point of those economic income payments was because there were very real people on the receiving end, people who didn't have work, people who couldn't work because of the pandemic, people who couldn't pay their rent, right? People that couldn't put food on the table because they weren't able to work because everything had been shut down, right? So those economic impact payments were sorely needed, right? Now, is that inflationary? Sure, because what you're doing is you are injecting cash into the system, right? And the value in giving that to low and middle income people is because they're the ones who will spend the vast majority of it, right? If you're making $60,000 and somebody else is making $500,000, the one earning 60 is going to be far more likely to spend a significant chunk of their income, right? Which is what fuels growth. Those that are making significantly more than that are likely to put a much greater percentage into saving, right? Which can help fuel investment, but as a rule, saving takes money out of the system, right? The goal of the payment is to get people to spend it, right? Because that is what keeps the economy moving forward. You get the same thing with taxes, right? But cutting taxes only for a percentage of people at the top isn't going to induce greater consumption. It'll create greater saving, and then greater net income, and that will actually increase income inequality. Now, if you're going to cut taxes, you cut them across the board, even if you cut them in the same proportion, it will disproportionately impact those at the lower end much greater, and with greater impact on the economy. Again, because that's where those sorts of income increases to the individual, that's where the money is going to get spent.
So the Iowa legislature is considering, and this all ties to inflation, which we're talking about, they're considering a 4% flat tax or somewhere right around in there, which, if you look at it, it's going to take money out of the pockets of people that, you know, are poor and middle class, and at a flat tax, the more wealthy are going to get more money. We're going to have less money in the system. Yeah, make sure I'm understanding this. We're going to have less money being spent, more money being saved, and then it's supposed to make the economy better. Does that work?
The idea of a flat tax has been floating around for an awfully long time. I know those that are of a certain level of wisdom will remember Steve Forbes when he ran for president on this idea of a flat tax. The difficulty with a flat tax is that there's absolutely no way to really make it revenue neutral, right? In other words, if you're trying to replace the graduated tax system that we currently have for individual income tax with a flat tax, you're not going to be able to meet the same revenue levels, right? When Steve Forbes ran, he called for a 17% flat tax across the board. When people started looking at the numbers very, very closely, unless you start taking things out, adding things in kind of the same way we do with consumption and with your mortgage payments and things like that, that flat tax needed to be close to about 30% in order to maintain the same level of revenue. So we replace our state income tax with a 4% flat rate. Then yeah, there is a certain level of equality to that, right? Everyone pays 4%. But equality and equity are not necessarily the same thing. When you think about ensuring equity, you're going to hurt those at the lower income levels far greater, because as a percentage of their overall income, a flat tax can be very regressive. And if the amount of government services that you provide significantly lower than it would be before. And again, that's services all over the map, anywhere from state police to Department of Education. Lots of things are going to be affected. Now, you asked if that can be inflationary. Again, that depends on what happens to to the money that goes back, right? If you are disproportionately benefiting those with very, very high incomes by creating the flat tax, then it's not going to be inflationary because you're looking at significant increases in saving, right? Unless that is tied to specific investments, not financial investments, specific investments, let's say, in infrastructure, that's not going to increase economic growth.
So some people are blaming President Biden for this inflation. Is this his fault, at least in part? And then what do you think he needs to do, if anything, he is in the power to do to fix it?
People like to blame the presidents that are currently in office for things that are happening, blame negative things that are happening in the economy. And they're also going to, and the presidents are also very quick to take credit for good things that are happening. The reality is neither of those are true. Right? In and of it themselves, the president has very little impact on some of the economic conditions that exist. And that's true regardless of the president. What should be done is what the Federal Reserve is planning on doing, which is slowly increasing interest rates. So that what you do is induce additional saving, takes money out of this circulation in the economy, and that will slow down the rate of inflation. It is very similar to what Paul Volcker did when he was chair of the Fed back in the late 70s.
So we're going to pull out of this.
I think we will pull out of this. I think when is the biggest issue, and I don't know that anyone has a good sense of how long this is going to take.
Thanks to Brian Peterson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.